walking up those steps feels like that Rocky movie, if you know what I mean. Just get yourself ready. Good morning. I'm just a... Okay, good to see everyone. So last week, Ail talked about a message, and I'm hoping we all remember what it was, and it was a question. So for those of you who weren't here last week, the question was, why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? And this week, I asked him if he would allow me to tag on to that message. So I'm not trying to steal his thunder. He's right there. He inspired me to do it, in fact. And I asked him for permission because I really am not trying to get fired so soon. So just know that this is in addition to or a follow-up to Adel's message. But the Lord put this on my heart after hearing his word on Sunday. So thank you, Adel. And I just wanted to add on one more thing on why we come to church. So before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are our cornerstone and that all of this that we get to hear today stems from what you did on the cross. And so, Lord, we want you to come to this room this morning, and I just ask that you just put me aside, and Lord, may your Spirit come and just touch our hearts with this word that you prepared for us today. We just commit this day to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so why do we come to church? Well, one thing I love about church, over the years, I've found people who kind of share my various interests, right? I can name, you know, I can try to name everyone, but for the sake of, you know, I can't name everyone, but for the sake of a concrete example, I'm gonna try and name a few, right? So if I ever want to go on a hike, there's Alex Romanov and Gilbert. If I wanna come home with some bugs, I would ask Jeff. There's Disneyland. You know who you are. Raise your hands. There's, you know, riding mountain bikes, computers, baseball, organic bananas. So, you know, Emma Fuller knows this. Just all sorts of interests, right? And I don't expect everyone or anyone to be as enthusiastic as Mike Weiss or Eddie about lawn care. So when I need something, you know, I go to them. I just know. I just, you know, consult the experts. But these are all varied interests, and I'm thankful. You know, over the years, I've come to this church. I know who to talk to, and it's the fabric that weaves us together. But one last one, off the menu. You won't see this posted anywhere on our website, but I will make a plug for Gabriel. He has the unofficial eating ministry. So just know that if you know who to ask, there is an eating ministry, and I'm seeing some smiling faces because we know it's there. But you know, I say that all to say that this family of God that we have is so woven together. And I consider myself fortunate that when I come to church, the lines blur between my heavenly family and who I consider my earthly family. But, you know, for those who haven't been coming here a long time, that might seem strange that everyone here feels or seems so deeply connected. But that barely really scratches the surface. And for those of us who've been here, we know that. And so we know that SRVBC isn't just a social club, right? It's not simply here to fulfill my personal interests. It's much deeper than that. And so, you know, in addition to all the reasons Adel shared last week, I just wanted to pose one more thing of why we come to church. And that's the title of our message today. It's, Therefore, Let Us Run. So the reason I wanted to pose for us this morning is simple. It's for us to run together. So let's read from our main verse today. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And you can keep it up there for a little bit because we're just going to stay in this verse pretty much the entire time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It goes, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." So we're going to spend a little bit of time. It's a meaty verse. And we're going to start with the first word, therefore. So let me talk about this word, therefore. So there's some major context. It's really easy to miss when you're reading this verse because you go right into the meat of it, which is, you know, the great cloud of witnesses, the sin that easily entangles, the race, the run. But there's that one word right in front of it, which is therefore. And anytime you read that word in the New Testament books, it's good to pay attention to understand, right? Because it's good to know the for that was, or what was before you to go to the there, which is ahead. And so we're going to spend that time today. And so here's the context. The book of Hebrews was addressed to Jewish Christians. This group of Christians were faced with a lot of pressure to go back to their Jewish ways. So these were previous Jews who got saved. And as an early church, they were experiencing real consequences. They were starting to experience and live out what Christian life would be like. And those real consequences could have been public shame, financial loss, or even imprisonment, right? And so the author of Hebrews, we don't know who they are, who he is or she, wrote them this letter to encourage them to keep going and to keep growing in their faith. So that's what they did. And if you look at the chapter before, Hebrews 11, this is what he did. He brought the big guns, right? So he talked about the heroes of the faith. So chapter 11, if you look at it, lists all that the Jews would have considered the big hitters or the who's who of the Jewish faith. And being converted Jews, the audience would have grown up hearing all these great stories. Right? You've got Abraham, Noah, Jacob, Moses, Joseph, and so on. And so that's what's going on here. Hebrews 11 is a setup to Hebrews 12, and that word therefore is that big transition moment. It was meant to connect the faithful of the past to the faithful of the present. The Hebrews, the church. And so therefore is an adverb for the language nerds, right? Had to look that up. It means as a result of. And so let's apply this today as the author meant for the Hebrews. We, the church, are a result of someone's great faith. And why do I come to church? Well, because someone brought me. Right? Because someone prayed for me. And I keep coming because someone poured in me the undeserved love of Christ. And because I was thirsty to know the deepest truth, and I found it here. And I knew that I would find something deeper here. And so I came to church because someone here was willing, and they know who they are, to take the time to study the Word of God and share it with me. And it doesn't matter if they were at the pulpit or helping me with the backyard project. That's why I came to church. And so therefore, we are here, and it wasn't a coincidence because someone's faith encouraged us to be in these seats this morning. So our verse talked about a great cloud of witnesses who testified that the faithful will receive the promise of God's salvation. So you add to Abraham, to Moses, to Noah, so many more names of the faithful witnesses, right? You have them today, right? You have Sylvia Ackle, Dean Allen, Bill Murray, Jim Hyde, many others past and present. And they all ran the race faithfully toward Jesus. And you know what? Now is the time for us to run ours. And that's the encouragement that we'll find in that one word, therefore. And so when I talk through the next verses, I'm going to keep talking about therefore. And I know it's been 10 minutes now, or 5 minutes, and I've just stuck with the first word, but we're going to move through pretty quickly after this. Trust me, I'm not trying to get fired. But Hebrews 12:1 describes this endurance race, right? We have the verse there, right? It is a race that requires perseverance. And so when running an endurance race, it's all about digging deep. And so the next part of our passage offers exactly that. It's an encouragement to dig deep because the race is long. And we need the motivation daily to keep going. So we're going to do that today. So let's dig deeper with a few more thoughts, okay? So the first thought is, therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders. So I told the men this story a while back. I got saved around over 20 years ago. And at the time, I remember being so on fire for the Lord. And, you know, I just wanted to be the biggest blessing I could be as quickly as I possibly could, right? And I had this idea. And Jamie knows this, when I have an idea, that's when trouble starts for me. So I had an idea. And I had a minor financial need at the time. And I got on my knees and I prayed for an answer. And I believed God would answer my prayer if I helped him by buying a lottery ticket. So, I mean, I'm up here. I'm highly accountable. My intentions were completely earnest, right? My thinking was, so follow with me, young Christian, right? I would take 20% for myself. And I would give God 80%. That was the plan. I said, you know, Lord, you make this happen, 80%. And I felt, you know, at the time, totally justified. And I was so confident that I had the solution. But the Lord made it clear that was one of my first humbling experiences. You know, I had to learn to give up both my problems and my solutions to him. 100% of it. I didn't need to keep 20% for myself, nor did he want 80%, right? And so when Jesus said in Matthew 19:21, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me, it wasn't about giving to the poor. It was about unburdening ourselves completely on this side of heaven so we can focus completely heaven-bound or on Jesus. And so the message, the first message, therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders, is about running light, because we can't finish the race strong when we're weighed down. And notice that this is the first thought, right? So we are encouraged to do this at the start of the race and not towards the end. So, you know, regardless of where we're at today, let's ask ourselves this question. What is holding us back? Are we afraid of letting the world pass us by? You know, are we afraid of giving something up to the Lord? We can look at all of his children and see how God never lets his faithful children down. And you know, I saw this firsthand, and here comes the first therefore, right? I saw this firsthand when my father-in-law, Jim Hyde, passed away. And for a moment there, I feared that his passing would be the start of a huge collapse in our family. Financially, practically, spiritually, you name it. Because it happened so fast and unexpectedly. But even Jim's death testified to God's faithfulness. Therefore, I am encouraged to unburden myself from all of these worries. So the second thought here is, therefore, let us untangle ourselves from sin. And you'll notice this. I'm just going, section by section on this one verse. So untangle is an interesting choice of word. The original Greek translates to well surrounding sin. And we are well surrounded by sin. And when I talk to my kids about this idea, I explain it really simply, and it applies to me as well. But sin are the seeds that we plant in our hearts that grow into weeds. Weeds tangle us up. It's easy to spot a weed, but difficult to catch a seed. And so therefore, we have to watch out for the seeds. So what seeds are being planted in our heart today? What do we watch? What do we let in? What do we listen to? Who do we spend time with? These are all seeds that get planted in our hearts. And left unchecked, they sprout, and you know what happens. Sylvia was an excellent weeder. When I would bring up a situation with her, I won't forget how expertly and lovingly she would point out those weeds in my life. And she would help me get untangled. And I'm so thankful that we continue to have people here who are willing to keep us accountable if we allow it. We need it. And so that's the second therefore. The third thought is, therefore, let us run with perseverance. I told you we're going to just keep going. Therefore, let us run with perseverance. And how can I not think about Dean with this one? There was this time when Dean and I, we would practice for worship group on Wednesday nights. We'd stand right there. And Dean didn't need a microphone to sing. But there was one night when even I could hear it, he could barely sing. And it didn't sound good. You could hear his breath. It didn't sound right. And maybe a few minutes later, he just said he couldn't sing anymore. He passed out. I know this for a fact. If we didn't call an ambulance, he would insist that he would keep singing. Every day he wrote a devotion and shared it with whoever would want to hear it. And every single day, we would get a one call. Every single day that we would get a one call about his health, I would check and he would still share one. He would be writing in the hospital, trying to share an encouraging word. That's perseverance. He persevered till the end. He reminded me of this one verse, Acts 20:24. This is the life he lived. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. What a great example for us here, church. And I know we'll see him one day again. So here's the fourth and final thought. Therefore, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. You can be the lightest, the strongest, and the most enduring runner. But if you're running the wrong way, you'll never finish the race. Jesus said he is the way. He marked out a race for each of us to run by living a life for us to follow. Bill Murray finished his race. He would always remind us that Jesus is the author and perfecter of his faith. Perfect means perfect. Perfect means there is nothing better out there than him. And this is what Bill believed. There was nothing out there better than his life with his Jesus. You know, I might have not won the lottery, but I can say this with complete sincerity, that I believe the same thing. My life is richer than I ever expect or deserve with my Jesus. So the message is short today, but that's it. I'll end it with this. Why do we come to church? Because we need to run together. As a church, we need Jesus lovers in our lives, planting the right seeds in our hearts, because the race is long. So let's encourage each other, love each other, serve each other, and care for each other's needs. This is an invitation to all, young and old. Dr. Rudy has his running shoes on. He's ready. Avery, you ready? Tessa, she's ready. I know it because I see it. This is the church I come to. Let's serve together. Luke 24:32 says this. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Don't you want your hearts to burn for Jesus? That's my prayer for today. I pray that our hearts burn together when we come to church and open the scripture and run on this road together. That our hearts burn so bright that others take notice. That those around us in this valley can walk with Jesus, because we run for him. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. You make our lives complete, perfect, and better than anything else that we might go after outside. And so, Lord, we just pray that you just allow us to take this message and run with it. Lord, send us your Holy Spirit, because without it, this message goes nowhere. And I pray for each and every one of us here and those online that you just bless us. Bless us with a faith that allows us to run. And we thank you now, Lord, and we ask that you just bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen.